this article. In, they demonstrated, the authors did, or the scientists, the researchers, the physicians, how they could take people that were in kidney failure. Significant damage to the kidneys. The kidneys are by no means working as well as they should, and they found a way to stop the damage and start to turn them around. And what they did was they gave them a substance called Brazilian green propolis. Somebody just tried to call. I think you got the number right. It's 903-589-8507. Okay? All right. Well, today's article, I came across this. I don't know if you know this, but there's so many people that suffer just horribly with abdominal pain. They don't even know what it's like to feel normal. If you ask them, when's the last time you felt good, they might have to scratch their head and think about how many decades ago since they actually felt good. Never underestimate the power of a person just enduring pain for a long period of time. And it's not like they haven't been to a doctor. Oh my goodness, most of these people can give me detailed visit-by-visit playbacks of what the doctor said, what test was ordered. But a lot of times when somebody has chronic stomach issues, they're given a diagnosis that's probably, I'm going to say, overused just a little bit. It's called IBS. That stands for irritable bowel syndrome. And so if a person has anything from horrible constipation to bouts mixed with diarrhea, lots of pain, their tummy never feels good, they might get a diagnosis of IBS. And the treatment, well, it may be some type of powerful prescription drug that's an antispasmodic. Well, in this study, they're asking the question, what would happen if they gave propolis? And propolis, if you don't know what propolis is, if you had a beehive, hang on, we got a caller. We're going to go ahead and test this line out. That way I can make sure it works. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Roy. Let me turn the radio on.
Thank you very much. Yay, the line works.
It does work.
Well, good morning and thanks for your phone call.
Well, I wanted to check and see if it worked, but also I wanted to ask you about that first thing that you said that would help your kidneys.
Oh, that's propolis. Propolis. In that one study, it was called Brazilian green propolis.
And is that in a pill form?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's probably by far and away the very best way to take it, because if you take it from a liquid bottle, it's going to have such a strong, probably not pleasing flavor to it. It can be pretty bitter. So if you get it in a gel cap or in a capsule, that's the easiest way, just to let it pass your taste buds and go right into the stomach. But it's called Brazilian green propolis. Or if you want to call it green propolis for short.
Spell that, propolis.
Okay. Propolis is almost like the word Polish, but just drop the H on the end of it, but put a P-R-O. P-R-O-P-O-L-I-S. Propolis.
Okay. Propolis. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. It comes from a specific tree, I forget the name of it, that grows like in the Amazon rainforest. And the honeybees, they go from their hive, and they go up and they get this resin from the trees, but this resin is very rich in these polyphenols, and when a human being consumes them, all of a sudden everything starts working better in the body, like the kidneys.
Well, that is good news, because Terry has beehives now, and that is good news. Okay.
You know what? You can sneak over there at night and scrape the propolis out of them. That's basically the glue that holds the beehive together. So if the top wooden part of the box doesn't come undone, it's probably because they've glued it together with their own propolis. But that's what it is. So good job.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
You betcha. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. I did it. It works. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Okay, going back to the article just for a second. And so I was mentioning the topic of IBS, or irritable bowel syndrome. And, of course, that, let's just say it this way. Your bowel movements are not great, and you are not feeling good in your tummy. How about that? Okay, here's a study right here. They go on to say that IBS is accompanied by inflammatory reactions. And this is a good point right here. They say there's a noticeable deterioration of intestinal flora. You know, people, when they suffer and their stomach's not right, they may think about getting a probiotic to kind of reseed their colon with healthy microbes to give themselves a chance to be in better gut health or gut balance, right? Okay. So that's one of the hallmarks. If your tummy is upset and you have alternating constipation, diarrhea, there may be a pretty good chance that the good beneficial flora that reside in your gut, they're just not really up to speed. Okay. Here's this study right here. They say because, and this is theoretically how they came up with it, because propolis inhibits inflammation, that might be good to know, and it also improves intestinal health in animal studies, researchers from Tabriz University of Medical Sciences in Iran. Now, just because the study comes from Iran doesn't mean it's not correct and true, okay? What they did was, these medical directors, they wondered whether or not propolis supplementation could actually be useful or beneficial to people that suffer from irritable bowel syndrome, okay? I started to say inflammatory bowel disease. There is a difference, but if you're hurting, you probably don't care if there's a difference. You're just thinking, what can I do to get myself right again? How do I get back to good or to great where I feel wonderful? Okay. The researchers did an experiment with 56 irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, patients. And they go on to say that IBS comes in all shapes and sizes. Well, that's true. That's definitely true. Every human being is just a little bit different than the other one. You don't find two people alike. We're just unique. You have your own unique fingerprint, or the vascular pattern of your retina. It's a one of a kind. You have your own unique DNA. There's nobody else like you. Okay? And so the ones they looked at is they looked at the subjects that had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, and they call it a mixed stool pattern. What they mean is the bowel movements are not normal, okay? I think you know what it's like to go to the bathroom and have a very well-formed bowel movement, and I don't mean this in a weird way, but you're really pleased and happy with the quality of it. It's just one of the ways of measuring your health. And so you would, if you went to the bathroom and you did not want anybody else to come into the bathroom for at least 3 hours of burning candles and spraying, you know, disinfectant, well, that's probably not a good high quality. And that tells us a story about what's going on in your gut. The other thing that I would say is your gut is where the vast majority of your immune system is. So it's really in your best interest. If you want to say short term, if you want to say long term, it is in your best interest to make sure your gut's in good working order. So here it is. So they're taking people with horrible gut problems, and all they're doing is they're trying to give them some propolis. So here's what the researchers did. They divided the subjects into two groups. One group took a placebo daily for 6 weeks. Another group took 900 milligrams of propolis daily. That's it. You could get a teeny tiny gel cap that had the actual propolis in it. You wouldn't have to taste it. It would be sealed by a gelatin capsule, most likely, and it would be small. So we're not talking about a big dose of propolis here. We're just talking about a small amount. At least that's my interpretation. So one group of people just took 900 milligrams of propolis daily. It says that the, and I'm just giving you full disclosure here, the researchers used a supplement that provided 450 milligrams of propolis per tablet. Each tablet contained 90 milligrams of polyphenols. Of this, 67 milligrams consisted of flavonoids. These are just the active ingredients that they believe that propolis delivers to a human being. I thought it had the supplement company. I was going to give you the name of it. If I come across that, I'll definitely tell you what that is. Okay. Here's the, I mean, I can't show you the graphs. To me, graphs are very impressive because you can look at them and say, wow, there was really that much change. And I'm going, yeah, there was. And that's the only thing they did different. They didn't try to change their diet. They didn't try to modify anything. They didn't talk to them about drinking water instead of, you know, Coca-Cola. They didn't tell them about sugary drinks and consume. They didn't do any of that stuff. They just gave them propolis. I guess they're just trying to purely figure out what happens to human beings with a irritable bowel syndrome when we just give them propolis, okay? All right, here's the results. Propolis supplementation reduced abdominal pain by 44%. I think that's significant. And the number of times the subjects reported abdominal pain, it dropped by 43%. So not only did pain go down, but its occurrence. You know what that means? That means the body's in better repair. Do you ever wonder what it means when you have some days that you feel really, really good and you ask yourself, okay, what was it that I did yesterday? Why did I sleep better last night? Why did I have to eat? But you're trying to figure out what's the right combination of circumstances, events, or even meals that got me back, back to good today. And of course, most people, if they eat something that just doesn't agree with their body, well, they can tell you that too. And they say, okay, I know why I'm having a rough go of this. I went to the fast food restaurant and I had the Wolf brand chili Frito pie with Velveeta cheese nacho sauce, and that's why I'm in misery right now. Anyway, it says, not surprisingly, the negative impact of the condition on the quality of life was reduced by propolis supplementation. That means compared to the placebo group, the people that didn't get the propolis, they did so much better, okay? I got the graphs and the charts. It goes everything from severity of abdominal pain to frequency of abdominal pain, severity of abdominal distension. You know what I mean by that. You feel like you're bloated or you're pregnant. It just feels horrible. Okay. In the placebo group, there was an overall improvement. But in the propolis group, this improvement was 81%. I don't know about you, but if you find that a supplement improves your horrible tummy problems by 81%, that's usually pretty good. Okay, here's the conclusion according to the researchers. I'm just quoting them in parentheses here. Propolis can be used as an adjunctive therapy in irritable bowel syndrome with constipation and a mixed stool pattern. I think that's very nice that they use the term mixed stool pattern. What that really means is, it's a mess what comes out of you. Okay, that's according to the, they're saying it reduces abdominal pain according to the researchers. Sorry, I'm not trying to get sidetracked. It is recommended that future studies specifically investigate the effects of propolis supplementation on diarrhea-predominant IBS syndrome. I like that study. And this study was done, when was it done? Oh, April the 20th. It was published in the Journal of Food Science and Nutrition in the year 2022. So I don't think they have completed the follow-up study as of today. But I would like to see that. I'd like to see what propolis can do with people that have mainly constant diarrhea, okay? That's a problem. It really is. How many people have constant diarrhea, never goes away? Anyway, This is one article right here. It's on the same topic, but I didn't copy it. I didn't even look it up, but I have the abstract right here. And so I'm slightly switching gears, but I'm still talking about propolis. Propolis is what the honeybee uses to build everything in their beehive. If you want to call it bee glue, that's fine. Where does it come from? They're getting sap and resins and compounds that come from the bark and the leaves and the stems of trees. And so in this one study, they were using the Brazilian green propolis. That's easy to look up. And so here's another one right here. There's, and this is just the abstract. It says propolis increases insulin sensitivity. You know what that means? That means that's really, really helpful to someone that has diabetes. I'm willing to bet there's at least four people listening today that have diabetes, or 400. Anyway, it says if people with type 2 diabetes take two propolis capsules every day, their insulin sensitivity increases and their insulin levels drop. Can I tell you what that means in the real world? That means your health improves drastically. This is where a person could have, let me see, what would be some of the side effects or the negative side effects of a person that has blood sugar that's too high, or their diabetes is not really going that well, or they're getting worse? There's a lot of ways you could say it. They're not winning the battle against their diabetes. The diabetes is taking a toll on the body. That could be everything from, they can have incredible weight gain. And that's one thing that happens when your insulin levels go up. You notice in this study it said propolis caused insulin to drop. Folks, that's a good thing. That's what you want. If your insulin levels go up, it tells your body, make more cholesterol. There's a lot of people that they are terrified if their cholesterol levels go up. And sometimes they probably should be. Sometimes it may just be a momentary repair mechanism. So the higher your insulin, the more your arteries are going to become stiffened, and you're probably going to have higher blood pressure. Your triglycerides are going to go up. When your triglycerides go up, that means there's more stress on your blood and your arteries. They become, could you imagine a water hose that was sitting, the water hose is black, of course, so it attracts all the heat, the radiant energy from the sun, and you leave the water spigot on, and that water hose just becomes swollen and fat. That's what happens when you have high triglycerides. That's one of the reasons why when you have triglycerides at 200 or above, they are a major risk factor for someone that's going to, or potentially at high risk of having a stroke. We don't want that. As a side note, I don't even know the number of people that I've seen that have gone for a fasting blood test, but they weren't told not to drink coffee prior to the test. And in some people, because of their very unique DNA, man, their triglyceride levels may just shoot through the roof if they drink two cups of coffee before they take their blood test. Okay? So just remember that. Water only. Only drink water. That's probably what a fasting blood test should look like. Okay? So in this abstract, it's saying that just two small capsules of propolis, their insulin sensitivity improves. That means they can take sugar from their bloodstream. Would you rather your blood sugar be around 189 points, or would you rather be at around 89 points? Well, obviously, 89 is a good number. 189 is not a good number. Well, propolis helps do that. Okay? Does that make sense? There's another article over here, and I don't know that I've read this one. I may have. I've read so many. I like the topic a lot. And you know, the reason I like this, I don't know of anyone that's ever called, I mean, there's plenty of natural remedies and supplements that have side effects. Some supplements are very detoxifying. some supplements are so good at weeding out toxic germs in the body that a person can have problems. So there are some supplements that have side effects, but propolis, I'm trying to think if anyone has ever called me and complained about propolis. Remember, the honeybee makes it from trees and plants and flowers, stuff like that. But there's an article, I need to look this one up also, but they're theoretically they're asking the question, how does propolis block skin aging? Okay. And I haven't read that one, but I will. But this is based on an animal model, so they notice that this very substance that bees use to build and construct their beehive or their nest with, it actually slows down the aging of the skin. And so, you know the world that we're living in, it's vanity of vanities, but this might be one way that we can trick a person into getting well. We can give them propolis and tell them it's for their skin. I'm just joking about that, but that's the kind of the reality of it. But if propolis can improve the quality of skin, the last time I checked, anything that starts to break your body down, and so I am not trying to be mean by what I'm fixing to say, but if you drink, if you smoke cigarettes, you're asking to damage your body. I'm not picking on you. I'm pretty sure I love you and I want what's best for you. But cigarettes would definitely age the skin more quickly, just like excessive sun exposure. If you're one to lay out in the sun all day long and you're burnt to a crisp and you have severe excessive skin damage, well, propolis is something that keeps your skin in good repair. And that's one of the tenets of natural medicine or natural health care. What can we do to keep your body in great working order? Because really, and this may be a side topic, but you really can't afford to get sick. I don't know anybody that can. Even if you are very well off financially, you have your own business, the money is rolling in, you're doing extremely well, you can't afford to have a major health problem. So it's so much better to have what type of a plan can we put into place where we can keep your body in better working order. So propolis, that's one of the ways to do that. Here's another article right here. I know I've read this one right before, and this is so interesting. They're showing that the use of propolis greatly decreases inflammation in the body. You know what that means? That keeps your body from getting sick. Always remember the equation. Let me give the number of the station here again. If you want to call me and ask a question, I think I've talked long enough. I'd rather talk to you on the phone. So, 903-589-8507. I think I probably had like about 15 calls last week that I couldn't get to, but now that John Paul has told me which buttons to push on this new system, I'm good. It worked the first time. It can work again. So the number here at the station is 903-589-8507. So here's the equation that I want you to consider right here. Every cell in your body, every living cell, whether it's a skin cell, a heart cell, a brain cell, liver, nerve, kidney. Let me see, what else did I leave out? How about your adrenal glands? Just any a bone cell, any cell that you can think of that's a living cell. They have requirements for oxygen. And they have requirements for nutrients. Every cell in the body requires a certain amount of either magnesium or vitamin D3, omega-3 fatty acids, protein, fat, carbohydrates. All the cells need these, and we're supposed to get them from the food that we eat. So here's what health looks like. If your immune system in your body can maintain the health of a cell, which means when a cell reaches the end of its lifespan, let's just say a liver cell, the normal lifespan is exactly 42 days under optimal circumstances. Well, if that cell reaches the end of its lifespan, it's the job of your immune system to go over and find that dying liver cell and say, well, we're going to have to remove you. If your body can remove that and then in turn replace it with a brand new healthy cell that takes the place, so maybe the old cell actually gives birth to the new cell, You clean up the mess so everything stays in good working order. But what happens if cells and tissues and glands and organs, what if they break down at a much faster rate than what your body's able to take care of when it comes to healing and repair? Well, guess what? You're going to have disease. So if your body can equally repair with the rate of breaking down, that's called health. But if cells break down so much faster than the ability of your body to heal and repair, that's called disease, or if you want to say inflammation. That's what chronic inflammation looks like. Okay? The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. I know we're getting used to the new number. Somebody's trying to call the other one, but if you will call 903-589-8507, I'll get you right in. No problem. Okay. So here's this article about using Brazilian green propolis. I mean, I just love this stuff. And like I told you before, I don't remember anybody calling and saying, "This, I feel horrible while I take this." Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for your call. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. The only question I have is, what multivitamin do you recommend for women over 50?
I'm going to give you a very strange answer, okay?
Okay.
If I had my way, I think I would see the greatest response if you went with one of those green powders like you could buy at the grocery store or the health food store. It could be anything from something that has mixed greens in it, that has fruit in it. Those are the ones that I probably see the greater response to as compared to a multiple vitamin. So if you gave me a choice, I would say your multiple vitamin could be getting one of those green powdered mixes where you can just dump a scoop of it in a thing of water, shake it up, and drink it. I would do that, and then if I took vitamin D3 at about 5,000 IUs a day, along with cod liver oil, I would call that superior to any multiple vitamin on the planet.
Okay. Do you have a particular brand that you recommend?
Well, the one that I have personally been trying is called, I think it's called Power, what is the name of it? I can't even remember what the name of it is. I'm so sorry. I just started taking it, but usually I can tell really quick if something's working or not. You know what I mean by that?
Yes, sir.
Not everybody can tell, but I can really tell with my body. It's just kind of sensitive. So it may be called Power Mixed Greens or something like that. Isn't that horrible? Like, you're asking me a great question. I can't even tell you the answer of it. But what I'll do is I'll figure that out. But I've been thinking about that for a while, and I'm really glad that you asked that question. So let me just review for a second. Instead of taking a multiple vitamin, you know, like in a pill, if all you did was invest the same amount of money and just get one of those green mixes that might have kale and broccoli, the one that I'm using, it has some fermented stuff in it too, which I think is really, really good. But I can tell a difference the moment that I take it. It just, bam, you just feel really good. But I will tell you next week. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I know the thing of it is, it's so simple, but it's a brand new one that just came out, and I said, wow. But it has a, it's going to be a powdered mix that's going to have everything from almost every type of organic fruit and vegetable that you can think of. But you've seen the commercials on TV where they sell the greens and the powders and stuff.
Yes.
Because those are living essences or substances from nature. I think those have a superior quality than synthetic vitamins or nutrients in a multiple vitamin. So if all you did was and fish oil and vitamin D, I think that would put you head and shoulders as far as protecting your body and nourishing it on a great level.
Okay. All right, then I will look into those, and I'll wait to hear from you next week and see if you remember the name.
Okay, I'm writing myself a note right now. What is the name of the greens? Okay, thank you very, very much, ma'am.
Yes, sir, thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy, she caught me on that one. Well, you know, it's my own fault. What? it'll come to me. It may be called Power Mix. I'll come up with it. But, you know, when I was reading, are you like I am? Do you sometimes look at the list of ingredients and find out what's in a substance? And when I started looking at it, there's all these compounds. And I'm going, man, they have really put some thought and some effort into this. Now, it doesn't taste bad at all. It actually tastes quite pleasant and good. And so I put it in my, I guess you can call it like a tumbler. Sometimes those tumblers will have these little stainless steel wire balls to shake them up. But this, I really didn't even need that. I just like would put a, you know, water in there and shake the stuff up. I think I took a dose yesterday and I specifically added some colostrum to it. And a colostrum is the substance that comes from like a, I started to say a mama cow. That would be correct. But just something that helps. Colostrum is actually an amazing substance that's been shown to help rebuild the immune system of the body, especially when a person has had a rough go of it. And yes, it is extremely common these days. You know what? Questions. I had a conversation with a lady through a text yesterday, and we were kind of saying, okay, what is the, oh, this is going to be slightly negative, but it's factual. Not every human being out there has taken every vaccine known to man. Some people have not. But what they're showing now is they're showing there's a lot of people that are at the point where they can no longer work for a living. They can't even do basic stuff that they used to do, like go for a walk around the block. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. So if you'll call that line, I'll get you right in, ma'am. I don't really know if it's a lady. I just made an assumption. I'll say, yes, ma'am. Just call 903-589-8507. But anyway, the conversation I was having is, who's going to work and pay taxes? Who's going to keep adding money to the economy? Well, if you're so sick you can't work, well, that kind of takes you out of the equation. The thing of it is, most people, I mean, really, really good, wholesome people, they like working, and they want to be productive, and they want to contribute as much as they can to making the world a better place. Well, I love that. So, you've got to find a way. What do we do to get the body to heal and repair itself? Now, this is where the whole concept of getting like a green drink or a beverage can really come in super, super handy, because it provides you these living nutrients that you find in nature. You don't find them anywhere else. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir. Your comments on coffee, can you talk about that quickly?
Yeah. What angle, though?
Well, how much is too much?
Well, let me tell you what I read about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
There was a new study, and they said, does coffee have any relationship whatsoever to people needing renal dialysis? And so that's a technique they use for people whose kidneys, they fail. And that is, we don't want to go there, do we?
No.
And so what they said was, does coffee hurt the kidneys or does it help the kidneys? Which
hurts.
do you want to guess?
Sure, it probably hurts them.
It doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, but I'm just like you are. That was the first thought that I had. I thought to myself, you know what? I see people that drink 2 pots of coffee a day. I think it's bad for them that much. But what they did was, between 1 and 3 cups of coffee, it actually protected the kidneys against renal or kidney failure.
That's great.
And then there was an additional benefit if you had 1 to 2 cups of coffee a day. That protected you against even needing to go for renal dialysis. So maybe what I'm saying is there's something about coffee that may serve a nutritional benefit to help keep the kidneys in better working order. Now, on the flip side of that coin, I think you and I would probably agree there's a point where you can drink too much coffee.
Does that create weight gain?
Does coffee? Usually not. Usually not.
Okay.
Unless, here's the caveat. If you tell me, do you know what a lady told me the other day? She said she got a large coffee at a, I'll just call it a coffee franchise. It begins with the word star. How about that? Didn't mention his name. She said it cost $7.50 to get this large flavored coffee.
Oh.
$7.50. Could you imagine that? That's radical. Anyway, when she got that, most likely it was filled with sugary syrups of some kind. which probably gave it a lot of sugar, you know, refined sugar calories. That's when you have a problem. The more sugar you put into the body, sugar is probably the hardest thing on the kidneys that I know of. So, right. 1 to 3 cups of coffee seems to be fine. Usually, the total, though, most studies demonstrate that if you do not go above 20 to 24 ounces of coffee a day, you do pretty well. But if you start going, for a woman, if she goes above 20 ounces of coffee, there's always a chance that she's going to lose her precious minerals faster than if she did not drink 36 ounces of coffee a day.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. Does that affect the insulin? What's the negative effect from insulin then? You said increased insulin.
Let me go backwards just for a second.
Okay.
Okay. Here's my fantasy world right here. In my fantasy world, there would be scientists looking at the coffee bean and trying to isolate or identify all the beneficial flavonoids and antioxidants and polyphenols and chemicals that are actually really, really good for the human body, but they haven't done that. But I'll say this, most coffee, when they test it, it has a very high OREC score. And I think that's just the acronym for oxygen radical absorbance capacity. So it's an antioxidant. So actually, coffee beans are just chock full of elements and nutrients that actually help the human body or the living cell function better. So I do think that there can be a benefit to drinking coffee. It's just that when you start getting too much, I think it has to do with the caffeine. And then maybe if I can change the topic just ever so slightly, one of the things that I think of when it comes to coffee is, where does it come from? Now, where it comes from may not be as important of a question as what do they spray on it. So if you ever come across what's called organic coffee, at least you kind of have the idea that they've made every effort not to spray a million tons of chemicals all over the coffee plantation.
All right, would decaf be the same? Would that be better than regular? Probably not.
Probably not, because they usually use what's called, one of the techniques they can use is either strychnine, the chemical strychnine to remove the caffeine, or carbon dioxide, which I think is more expensive. But at the very least, if you only had one choice, I would just tell you to choose organic coffee. Por favor, senor.
Great. All right.
So I do think that there's a point where too much caffeine is counterproductive to the human body. If I didn't say that, I'm saying that now.
Yes, that's very helpful.
Well, do you think that you could keep it to 1 to 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day and be satisfied with that?
Oh, that's what I have, 1 or 2, and that's it.
Okay, do you fill up the rest of the day with drinking water and things, or herbal tea?
I've learned that from you.
Okay, well, good job then. You're doing great.
All right.
Do you have any trouble with constipation?
No.
Okay, good. And that's one thing that coffee does have. It contains a substance known as cholinergic acid. And cholinergic acid is very good at helping to influence the liver to contract and push the bile out. You may have heard of studies where people have horrific forms of cancer. They can't get well until they start giving themselves what's called a coffee retention enema. Mm-hmm. Because under those circumstances, the human body does a good job of purging itself of toxic waste and debris, which I know this is maybe a different topic, but we're living in a world where we have all these chemicals, and to the naked eye, they're invisible. You may not even know they're there. But if you eat modern fast food and you have a lot of processed foods, there's a pretty good chance there's some chemicals in them. And that chemical residue builds up and can be prone to causing cancer cells to form in the human body. So a coffee enema is one of the techniques of how you might cleanse or purge yourself of all the toxins.
That makes a lot of sense.
Back in the early 1900s, it was common knowledge that if somebody had the most severe reaction to a chemical, like they had been poisoned, or what I should say is, maybe somebody tried to poison you, but the technique was during the day that had a high survivability rate was just doing a coffee retention enema. Now, I know the next thing I'm going to tell you is going to be horrible. I don't make this stuff up, but in the country of Czechoslovakia back in the 1930s, they gave, I know this is horrible, I'm so sorry, but I'm just repeating it. They gave dogs a lethal dose of a toxin, and they died. They came back and did the same thing, but at the same time, they gave them a coffee enema, and all the dogs lived. So the influence of the coffee was very, very good at helping to purge the lethal dose of the toxic poisons from the dogs where they could live. Have you ever heard that before?
No, I've never heard that.
Sometimes they used to call it, you know how they, if a person has kidney failure, they call it renal dialysis?
Yes.
Well, that's what they used to call coffee. They called it coffee dialysis, one of the greatest ways to purge your body of toxins. They also did that back in the early 1900s when somebody had a severe allergic reaction to anything. So let's just say that a person's having the worst ragweed, I should say mountain cedar. I'll change it. If somebody's getting the worst reaction of all time to the mountain cedar that's in our air right now, this very moment, some people would do a coffee enema just to purge that and get over it very quickly.
You know, it's amazing. We spend more money than any country in the world on medicine, and we have more people sick.
We do right now, don't we?
We sure do.
Do you attend a church where they give announcements and they start talking about the people in the church that are sick or people that somebody wants us to pray for that's sick?
Yes, commonly.
Isn't it a growing list where you worship?
It is.
It's almost downright scary.
Well, so, if people could listen to many things you say and do them, I'm one to tell you it really does help. I've learned more listening to you than all the biochemistry and everything I took on my degree.
Well, you're so kind, and thank you very much. I'd like to give just easy, useful tidbits of information.
Well, you certainly do.
Thank you much.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Hope you have a great day. I really appreciate your phone call. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay. The buttons are working on the new phone system. This is awesome. Okay. We have another call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I always wanted to know, in the mornings when I get out of bed and I put my foot on the floor, my heel has a very burning sensation.
You either have a heel spur or what's called plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, that's what I thought was.
How long has this been going on?
Months.
Okay, well, bless your heart. I'm so sorry. Can we talk about maybe ways that you can help your body get over it?
Yes, that's what I would like.
Okay. Can I just, like, drop the bomb on you and tell you all the things you can try, and maybe somewhere in here you can tell me. Can I tell you a story real quick?
Yes.
I had this lady cutting my hair. This is about 2 months ago. She goes, you know what? What do you do for a living? And I said, so I described to her. She said, oh, my goodness, you're not going to believe what happened to me the other day. I said, well, what happened? She says, I don't even know what it's like for my feet not to hurt. They kill me every morning. I said, you know, you are standing on concrete all day long. I think she was wearing, like, maybe not the best shoes. I'm not trying to judge her.
Yeah.
But she said, you're not going to believe what I did. I found this new technique. I've never heard of it before. It worked amazing. I said, well, what was it? She said, I took castor oil, and I rubbed on my feet at night, and I covered them with and I'm just kind of laughing. I'm going, okay, well, did it work? She says, oh, my goodness, my feet have never felt better. So for the last month, all I've been doing is putting castor oil on my feet before I go to bed at night. I'm sorry.
I'm
probably got too... What now?
No, I'm a hairdresser, and I've been on concrete. And
wait, are you the one that cut my hair too much?
No. But I have been on it. You know, I've been a hairdresser for almost 30 years, and it's I think it's starting to make a...
Well, concrete is very unforgiving. It's like the hardest... It's not like you're standing on a wooden pier beam floor or a padded carpet or whatever, or dirt. So anyway, that's what she was telling me that she did. And that is a common treatment, is where you slather, you know, high-quality castor oil all over your foot, the sides of your foot, the bottom of your feet, especially the heel. And then you just put a cover with a sock and go to sleep. Now, I will say this. Castor oil is very, very famous for improving what's called lymphatic circulation. That is really in your best interest to do that. And so that's one technique. Another technique is taking fresh lemon juice and just putting it directly on the area of pain and just allowing it to soak in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be a little bit nitpicky because I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe if a person's having foot pain, they should wear what's called wool socks.
Okay.
So instead of using synthetic fibers, if you could find a good pair of wool socks, I think that could go a long way. One of the brands that I like, I'm not making this name up, by the way, they're called Darn Tough. I think that could be a play on words when it comes to taking wool yarn and making socks. But they're called Darn Tough, and you can get the ones that have a high percentage of a type of a wool called merino wool, and that tends to be pretty comfortable. Another thing that you could think about that might actually help you, just not the first day, they're called zero drop shoes.
Okay, I've never heard of those.
Well, I'm going to give you a strong sales pitch. The last time that I wore my zero-drop shoes and I went fishing, I caught 51 fish.
All right.
Nobody could compete with me that day. I had the magic shoes on. No, I'm just joking. But I think the brand name, they're not expensive. They're called Alta, A-L-T-A. But they're called zero-drop shoes, and I think these were like just tennis shoes. But what they do is they lower the heel. And over time, what that does is that every time you walk and move, you're actually more effectively stretching out your tight heel cord or your Achilles tendon, if you want to call it that. So those are three or four things right there. The other thing that really works is just walking barefoot every day on the grass or the dirt, if you can.
Okay.
I realize everybody can't. And so stretching... If you were to go to a website called YouTube and you typed in foot ankle mobility exercises for plantar fasciitis, you would see somebody, the technique of sitting on their feet, kind of like a Japanese samurai warrior would do if he was sitting on his feet. They would show you that, and they would show you the other exercises. All those things are going to totally correct this.
Yes. Well, I recently had broken my kneecap, so I can't really...
Oh my goodness, how'd you do that?
My husband was going in for knee replacement, and I was in the hospital, and I went to get him something, and I had the foot drop, and I fell in the hospital and broke my kneecap.
Oh, no. Did they just wheel you right into surgery?
2 days later, yes. So we were both down at the same time.
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. That was what a rough deal.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been...
Did you blame him for it, by the way?
Yes, I did. And I told him, from now on, I'm never going to the hospital with you again.
Oh, man, why would you do that? It's too dangerous.
That's what he said. Sorry, you're on your own now, buddy.
Let me guess, somebody threw a banana peel on the floor.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my goodness. Or will it have you healed yet?
Well, I'm getting there, and he's doing pretty good, but in fact, it's been nearly a year ago since this happened.
Not everybody likes the way I talk when I say this next thing, because I have a lot of people just totally shut me down, but here's the problem. You've got to become stronger if you want the plantar fasciitis to go away. So that's where doing body weight squats, they're just so valuable. So if I look at the research on how long a woman is going to live, it's going to be how much good quality muscle she has. And the feet and the calves, man, they are some quality muscle. But most studies show that as a person ages, they really lose a lot of the strength of their calf muscle, which that kind of sets you up for plantar fasciitis. If you grow new muscle, this will go away every single time.
Okay.
So I'm really rooting for you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call today. I really appreciate
that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm so glad that John Paul taught me how to use this new phone system. It works now. That's almost like a big sigh of relief, because I had no idea. I just thought I knew how to do it, but I didn't. Okay, the phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. So thank you, John Paul. You did a great job, man. What a good teacher you are. If you'd like to join me before the program is over, 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. I just have a quick question. I have a great-granddaughter, and she's 3 1/2, and she has a runny nose all the time. It's just a clear runny nose, and I wondered what you would suggest for her to do.
You know, earlier this morning I talked about taking a supplement. It's known as green Brazilian propolis or green propolis.
Okay. Try to get her to drink some of that.
Well,
okay.
If she's 3 1/2, they do have it in liquid form, but I'd probably get like a powdered capsule and stir it into maybe some applesauce or something and see if you can just get her to drink it down that way. But what that's showing is it greatly encourages beneficial microbes to grow in the gut. And quite often with a continual runny nose, now I'm not trying to be difficult here, but is there a chance that she's had one or two rounds of antibiotic therapy for like an ear infection or something like that?
Yes, she has. When she was even younger, she had some difficulties, and they had to put her on antibiotics. She had a little heart condition, and so she was.
Oh, bless her heart.
But she's okay now. Everything, as far as that goes, is good. But
isn't it amazing how God designed the human body to repair itself?
Oh,
it just boggles the mind how tough it is. Well, this is a beautiful story. So if you could find a way to maybe just take one capsule of propolis, even if you just tried using half of it, you could try that. The other thing that would be really easy is just when you go to the store, just try to seek out or ask somebody that at the granary or drug emporium or natural grocer or Sprout, something like that, ask them what is the best probiotic they have for kids. And you can give her that, and that's one of the ways that you can kind of reset the immune system to help it to rebuild and recover and repair itself. Now,
great deal.
The other thing is this. You've got to give the body nutrients. I think everybody knows that. And so one of the nutrient density fruits that has lots of vitamin A that actually protects and helps keep all those nasal membranes in good working order is a fruit called the mango, because it has vitamin A or beta-carotene in it.
She must know that, because I noticed when I went over there, she had mangoes, and she likes to give them to her, so she's probably done her research.
Good job. You could actually take mango and put some coconut milk in it and make her like a fruit sorbet in the freezer, and she thinks it's ice cream.
All right. Well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes,
so
ma'am. I hope you have a great day. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Another thing, I know I keep adding to it. Sorry about that. One of the things for like a kid with a runny nose, I talked about propolis. That is a bee product. But, you know, the other thing that's been used forever and a day for like a runny nose is bee pollen. So if you go to the grocery store and you see like a jar of these yellow, sometimes they look orange. Every so often I'll look at one chunk of pollen that looks like it's kind of red. That's pretty rare. Or they might have like a mild green or brown color. Well, that's bee pollen. And as a general rule, when you get bee pollen in the granule form or the loose form, that's the highest quality. You may not realize this, but when you get bee pollen that's stuffed into a capsule, that's usually they're getting rid of the old stuff that's probably lost some of its potency. So you have to understand, everything has a shelf life. Well, maybe except honey. If you want to stock up on something that lasts almost forever, that would be raw honey. Actually, that wouldn't be a bad idea. If you wanted something that would have a long shelf life that could be used years and years and years from now, well, raw honey may be the substance you're looking for. Maybe as a side note, I was reading the other day about, I know I don't have like a lot of time to kind of flesh this out, so I'll just try to be brief and to the point. But they were showing such benefits to the use of maple syrup. When I say maple syrup, yes, I know you can find it in the sugar-free form. I think I've been on a mission for a while now. I try to convince just about everybody that'll listen to me that the artificial sugar in the form of sucralose, Splenda, aspartame, NutraSweet, saccharin, acesulfame K, there's other ones, they're just garbage. I don't understand how they can be legally sold in America today because they're so toxic. You may have heard me talk about the study. They showed that if a young mother that's pregnant, you know, she's got a baby growing in her tummy, let's just say the baby's 6 months old, has 3 months to go before the baby can be born, they're showing now that if a mother, while she's pregnant, if she's drinking a diet soft drink that's sweetened with artificial sugar, the chances of her giving birth to a child that has horrible autism is just through the roof high. How could they allow that stuff to be sold? That's like telling a pregnant mother, smoke 2 packs of cigarettes and drink 2 Diet Cokes. That's nuts. Anyway, I think we're officially out of time today. I've really enjoyed being with you. Thanks for letting me work through this phone problem. Thank you again, John Paul. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Long.